Well, good morning, saints. Praise the Lord for His mighty grace. I don't think there's any way to describe or understand the grace of God. I think our brother said it well. The most that we can do is really accept it and be so grateful for it and thankful for it. It's certainly undeserved. But the Lord Jesus loves us. And that's why we're here this morning. We gather together. He loves us, and we want to return that love to Him and to one another. Now, so this morning, we are so grateful that grace is such a prominent part of God's heart. Lord, we come to You this morning. We thank You for the grace that has been extended to us. Lord, the great love that You have poured out on us. Lord, the great burden that has been lifted from our souls. Lord, the great grace that is a part of our lives every day. We thank You for it, Lord. And we ask this morning, Lord, that Your grace be extended to this time in which we share in Your Word. Now, Lord, You're very clear. It's not by might nor power, but by Your Spirit that things are accomplished. So we come this morning, ask that Your Spirit, Lord, would speak, that Your Spirit would hear, and Lord, make it real in our hearts this morning. Lord, we look to Thee. The deaf and blind come to Thee, that we might hear and see. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, I want to begin with a couple of verses. One is a theme verse for the conference, Revelation 1:9. I, John, am your brother and companion. I'm certainly glad that the Apostle John is my brother and companion. Praise the Lord for that. Such a dear brother. I, John, am your brother and companion in the tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus. And the verse that is on my heart for this morning is out of Revelation 1:3, the last part of that verse, the time is at hand. The time is at hand. The time, brothers and sisters, for the conference is at hand. And the Lord has been merciful to us once again this year. And as I was considering this, the time being at hand for the conference, I remembered that actually there's been a spiritual process. There's been a spiritual process to this journey that we're on to the conference time. It began with a time of consideration and reflection. Brothers and sisters, it has been an honor and a privilege. All of these years, Kenny keeps track of it. How many years, Kenny? 40 what? 45. All right. 1975, First Family Conference. First Christian Family Conference. So that's been a long time. And I'm one of the ones that's been privileged to have been here all of those years. And by His grace and mercies, have been able to be at all of them. And it's been a real joy down through the years. But we are grateful to the Lord. The Lord has used us mightily, even in our midst, Lord, to help us build together, to be built together, to serve His purpose together, to have His word about His eternal purpose go out through the entire world. And we've had a small part in that. You know, I was reminded of Ezra's encouragement to the remnant that had returned to rebuild the temple of God. And I feel like, brothers and sisters, down through the years, the Lord called us out from all the religious entanglements to go back and to truly build His house. Well, Ezra's encouragement was this, Ezra 9:8, I think. And now, for a little time, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail or a stake in His holy place, that our God might enlighten our eyes and give us a little reviving. I just feel like that kind of sums up these years. And all these years, it has been by His grace. And brothers and sisters, I say once again, it's been a joy. It's been a joy to be a part of all of this. So we reflected on the mercies that the Lord has extended to us. And so once again, this past year, we began to seek the Lord Jesus. Seeking Him concerning should we have a conference again this year. And if there was, what was on His heart? And so we prayed and fellowshiped together. And in view of the time and the hour in which we live, which we know is the time just before His return, the last hour, we sensed a need for endurance. And that's what came to our hearts, this matter of endurance. Endurance in keeping the word of His patience, that we might be ready for His return. And not only be ready for His return, but be such a people with such a heart, so given to the Lord that we might even hasten His return. That was on our heart. And in December of last year, we met together with other assemblies. And as we shared together and prayed together, the Lord in His grace brought us to one heart and one mind as we gathered. And our heart was this: should He tarry, we should proceed with the conference. Should He tarry. Now, His tarrying, brothers and sisters, means that we're not ready. And we need His Word. We need to hear His Word for this hour in which we live. And that's what this conference is about. We need to fellowship in His Word. We need to be together. And that's what the conference is about. So we decided that we really should proceed under the headship of Christ into another conference. And brothers and sisters, we still have to say, should He tarry? Even today, even as close as that conference time is, our words are, if He should tarry. Secondly, the second time, it was a time of preparation and planning. It was a time to consider, and now it became a time to prepare and to plan. And brothers and sisters, we didn't just get into just planning, forming committees. We did this under the headship of Christ, truly, that Christ might be our head in all of the plans and in all of the things concerning the conference. We always feel like it's important that Christ be kept in His place as head of His church. And in by His grace and mercy, the facilities at Longwood were still available for the time period that we wanted to have this conference. Brothers and sisters, we might take that for granted, but it's not always the case. And in fact, we have had to change that at times. But this year, the time we wanted was available. The Longwood staff is still amenable to our being there. And not only that, desire to have us there. And the staff, particularly Irina, have to mention her. She really cares about us and about having our needs met. To have the housing we need, the facilities we need, the food we need, the services that we need, the maintenance staff, everything is available for us by the grace of God. And we thank Him for that. The Lord has raised up those who will minister the Word of God. And there's going to be 5 brothers this year. The teachers. The Lord has raised up those that will teach to and help our children and our teens and take care of our babies. That's quite a task right there. to be able to do that. But the Lord has raised up those to do that. It's been His conference, not ours. All the administrative activities, the registration, transportation, both to and from the conference and while we're there at the conference. The audio, the video, loading of the truck, getting the truck. That's my responsibility. So, setting up the campus. It takes quite a bit Saturday to set up the campus, but we do it by His grace and through His love. And we set up for the children's classes. We don't go down there and everything is all set up. We have to set up for the children's classes. The Lord is arranging all that. And I'm thankful also that there'll be those that'll help with luggage once we get the conference going. So there's a lot of administrative activities that the Lord has to provide for. And we're thankful for that. So there was a time to consider, a time to plan, and it's been a time for prayer. Brothers and sisters, that time for prayer is not limited. It began with prayer, and we'll continue to pray until its end. Persistent prayer. You know, we're going to pray again tonight. Prayer is so important. God is sovereign. We know that. We're thankful He is a sovereign one. But it seems to me, and it's pretty clear, that He chooses not to move until He hears the prayers of the saints. He waits for the prayers of the saints. He waits until our heart comes in alignment with His heart, until our burden comes in alignment with His burden. And that's why prayer is so significant. Our brother John, time and time again, has told us the real work of the conference is in prayer. And that's very, very true. You know, I think the Lord would want us to continue to pray, as we will all through this time. And I was reminded of 1 Peter 4:7. The Lord's words to us, the end of all things is at hand. Be sober and watch with prayer. I think that's a charge to us as we go into this conference. All things are at hand. Be sober and watch with prayer. So there's been a time to consider, a time to prepare, and a time to pray. And that time to pray continues. And now the time is at hand. Now let me ask you, are you ready for the conference? Are you really ready? You know, so often this time kind of sneaks up on us, doesn't it? All of a sudden it's here. And is our hearts really ready? Are we really ready to meet the Lord there together? Are we ready? Well, brothers and sisters, as we've been praying over these months, it seemed to me that there's at least four kind of burdens that have come out under the overall burden that the Lord's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the prayer. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. First, and there may be others, is the Word of God. We've been praying that the Word of God would be direct and powerful, would come in the power of the Holy Spirit and be fruitful. That has been our prayer. Brothers and sisters, that seems pretty typical to us, but it is very important. For nothing is done without the Holy Spirit's power and working. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Hebrews 4:12 expresses this burden well. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart." That's what God wants to do through His word in our hearts. You know, this scripture in Hebrews refers to the sacrifices that were made as they would bring the lamb to the altar, and the priest would begin to carve up the lamb. And so precise was their carvings, so skillful that they say that you could put all the parts back together and not recognize that it actually had been cut up. But the point is, brothers and sisters, Paul, or whoever wrote Hebrews, told us in this scripture that it cuts down even to the marrow of the bones. In other words, at the joint, when they began to cut through, they got down to the marrow and the bones. Now, here's what's important. The marrow of your bone is the life of your bone. If the marrow dries up, your bone becomes brittle and breaks. The marrow is the life of the bone. Isn't this not what we're desiring? That sharp two-edged sword of His Word get down to the marrow of our life. That is our life. To get down into the very life of our soul. Brothers and sisters, we want that two-edged sword to be effective even to the marrow, the very life of our hearts. This is what God wants. I hope and pray that we're prepared in our heart as we go, that this would be our personal desire. Lord, take that sword of Thy Word and work deep into my life, down to the marrow. Is this what we want? Is this what You want? Really? That the Word of God be so sharp and powerful? Really gets down the things that need to be taken care of in our lives. Things that will release us and prepare us for His soon return. Secondly, the second burden that I think has touched our matter so much in our prayers has been the heart. A ready heart. Ready to receive His Word. You know, the farmers understood this, because during the winter months, the ground gets kind of crusty and hard. And in the spring, they have to plow the fields to break up that hardness, that it might what? Receive the rain and the sun that will give life to the seed. Brothers and sisters, we need soft hearts. We need pliable hearts as we go into this conference. Is our heart soft and pliable? Are we open to the Lord? Are we still kind of like Martha, busy about many things, and have not taken care of our heart that it might be soft and pliable in the Lord's hands? I think Psalm 42:1 describes the kind of heart that the Lord is seeking. He says in there, "As a deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after Thee, O God." A longing heart for the Lord, as the deer pants after the water brooks. May we have a heart like that as we go into the conference. Brothers and sisters, these things are needed in preparation for what the Lord wants to do. As we were praying the other night, I was really touched by one of the prayers of, "Lord, we expect great things. But for great things to happen, there have to be soft hearts." Well, Psalm 119, verse 2, should give us great comfort. It says, "Blessed are they that seek Him with a whole heart." Not a half heart, three quarters, or even 99%. But the whole heart. May the Lord give us a whole heart for Him, brothers and sisters. Doesn't mean perfect. It means whole. What does that mean to you and me? I think it means that we give ourselves to the Lord. Brother Jim spoke on consecration last week. Giving yourself totally. Putting yourself on the altar and saying, "Lord, whatever You need to do, whatever You need to show me, Lord, do it. I give my whole heart to You, Lord, without reservation, because I trust You." I think it much like Abraham having to offer his son. The only way he could do that, brothers and sisters, was because he knew the Lord so well. And he trusted in the Lord so much that he knew that whatever the Lord wanted was what was needed and what was best. And he offered his only son there on the altar. I think the Lord would have us offer our whole hearts to the altar as we prepare to go. Thirdly, that our eyes be opened. I think of Job's words as I've thought of this. Job 42:5 says, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees thee. Job had a great unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. The culmination of all that he went through I think 38 chapters, and finally we get to the chapter. He goes through the loss of everything. His whole life turned upside down. But what was the end of the matter, brothers and sisters? All the tribulations, all the trials that he went to had one purpose, that his eyes might be open to see the Lord. That was it. And I think every one of us here knows that the times in our lives that have made the greatest difference was when we had a new unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ to our hearts. May the Lord do that this year. May He open our eyes just like He did with Job. This is revelation, brothers. It's brothers and sisters I'm talking about. May we have revelation. You know, revelation is much deeper than mental understanding or even enlightenment, like we get on a verse sometimes and we say, oh, understand that much better. It goes deeper than that. When we have revelation, we see the Lord in such a way that it does alter us. We're caught, we're captured, and we can never go back like it used to be. I think some of us have had times like that. May the Lord be merciful and do mighty things this year at the conference. You know, in Matthew 20, 32 and 33 is a great illustration. It was two blind men, and the Lord was coming by, and the blind men heard the excitement, and they said, what's going on? I said, well, the Lord Christ, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And they began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. That was their cry. The Lord looked upon them, and he said to them, what would you have me do? Their response was, Lord, open our eyes. Lord, open our eyes. May we cry out like these blind men. Realize our condition and say, Lord, open my eyes. Oh, what a wonderful day that was as their eyes were opened. And what did their eyes see, brothers and sisters? Jesus. Jesus. Lord, open our eyes. Fourthly, as we go into the conference, we must continue in faith to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is on the throne. May our spirits lay hold of that. He is in authority. And he has power to do all things. We don't have power. Even as we share and minister in the Word, it is ineffective unless the Lord moves. He is the authority of the universe. And he is the authority of your life and my life. He is the authority. And he has power to act in any way that he pleases. But brothers and sisters, what did he want to be known as? When Moses asked him, who should I tell these people? What should I tell them? Who am I talking to? And the Lord says, I am that I am. Tell them the I am is the one that is talking. He is the great I am, brothers and sisters, and we need to remember that as we go into this time. He is the great I am. He is over all things. We declare His Lordship over all of the ministry, over all the activities, over all the brothers and sisters, over the elements and over the weather and the condition. May all of these be brought into full subjection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, we've been asked to cooperate in prayer and standing with Him in His Lordship and in His authority and say, Lord, bring all things into subjection unto You. And mostly, Lord, bring my heart into subjection to You as we come. But all things. And Lord, You can speak with power and You can do all these things. But without Your blessing, there will be no fruit. So Lord, we ask that You bless our time. It be a blessing. A great blessing, not only to us, but to You Yourself. So brothers and sisters, the fourth thing, the Lord is on the throne. May we keep Him there as we go into the conference. So brothers and sisters, the time of the conference is at hand. The time is at hand. Are we ready? I think if we were honest, we would probably say, well, Lord, not as ready maybe as I should be, or even as I thought I was. Or Lord, I don't know, but Lord, Your great grace is sufficient. Lord, redeem this few hours before the conference that I might truly be ready. But brothers and sisters, not only is the time at hand for the conference, the time is at hand. The time for the Lord's return. These time in which He will call those overcomers up and begin His process of coming back to this earth. Brothers and sisters, time is very important to the Lord. John in his gospel said, when he wrote it, he says, the time is at hand. Brothers and sisters, are we ready? Are we ready? You know, being aware of the time in which we're living is absolutely vital and critical. If we're unaware of the time in which we live, we will miss what the Lord is doing. And that is sad. The Lord wants us to be aware of the time. It is extremely important. 1 Chronicles 12:32, very familiar verse to us all. It says, the sons of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times and knew what Israel ought to do. Do you have understanding of the times? Do you know what we as His people ought to do? The children of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times and knew what Israel ought to do. You know, these were listed when in the Bible, it was listing the mighty men of David. They were the sons of Issachar, were part of those mighty men that had been with David. They wanted to bring David to the throne. And they fought alongside with David to bring him to the throne. But when this listing is made in the Bible, what they're doing is they're preparing to bring the ark to Jerusalem. And I think that's significant where the listing is made. It's just before they begin to bring the ark to Jerusalem, and they're preparing. And David has his mighty men with him. Brothers and sisters, you want to be a mighty man of God? I think you have to be aware of the time. It was time to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. That was God's heart. Because we know that the ark represents God's presence on this earth. That's what the ark meant. God's presence was going to be in Jerusalem, the center of the earth, in God's estimation and in God's design. They were mighty men. And they knew it was time to bring the ark back. Brothers and sisters, is this not the hour in which we want to bring the ark to this earth? That we want to bring God's, Christ's physical presence back to this earth? Is this not what the mighty men were about? To see that the ark was in its rightful place. I think that's what the time we're in is about. To draw the physical presence of our Lord back to this earth. We need to be aware of the time in which we're in and the purpose for which we are to serve. Brothers and sisters, God expects us to be aware of the times. The Lord expects us to be aware of the time and to discern the times. It's time for the ark to come back. The hour is at hand. In his first appearance, when he came to earth as a babe and was here for those 3.5 years, remember the Lord admonished the Pharisees in Luke 12:56. He says, "You discern the face of the sky." You know that old saying, red skies in the morning, sailors take warning, red skies at night, sailors delight. They discern in the sky. He said, you can discern the sky and the earth, but how is it you do not discern the times? He admonished them. He said, you've missed, you don't know what this time is. You missed the time. This is a time for me as the Savior of the world to come, and you've missed it. And brothers and sisters, because they did not understand the time, they ended up crucifying our Lord Jesus Christ instead of receiving His salvation and receiving Him as the Savior of the world. On His last entry, going into Jerusalem before He was crucified, He came from the Mount of Olives and He was looking over, and He was looking over the city and He said He wept. What the Word said. He began to cry as He looked at the city. What Jerusalem was supposed to have been was no longer. It had lost its spiritual capacity. It had lost its spiritual necessity. And the Lord wept. And this is what He told them. A great destruction is about to come upon Jerusalem. And we know that occurred in 70 A.D. But this is the reason. He says, because you did not discern the time of your visitation. You're going to miss it. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed because you did not understand the times. You missed it. You did not discern the time of your visitation. The Lord Himself was always aware of the time. During His 3 years, numerous times, as you read the Gospels, you'll find He's saying, my time has not yet come. Very aware of His time. John 7:6 said, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. And in 7:8 He says, I go not up yet to the feast. You know, they told him you needed to go to the feast and present yourself. Everybody's excited about you now. He said, I'm not going up right yet. For my time is not yet fully come. It's close, but it's not yet fully come. But as He asked the disciples, remember He asked the disciples to prepare for the Lord's Supper? He said, because my time is at hand. My time is now at hand. And finally, in the garden, John 12:27. He said, "My soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." He knew the hour. "Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause I came unto this hour." For this cause I came unto this hour. Brothers and sisters, why are you here at this hour? Think about that. The Lord Jesus says, "For this cause I have come to this hour." Brothers and sisters, this is the hour in which we should be preparing for His return. That in our hearts we need to get them right. We need to be overcomers. We need to be overcoming instead of overcome. But Lord, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us all this morning, because I think none of us could declare that we're an overcomer. The Lord is faithful. We need to trust in His faithfulness to do what He needs to in our lives in this last hour. He is delayed because we're not ready. He is gracious, so gracious, even in His delay, because the only reason for that is we're just not ready. So may we use this time to get ready, to prepare for His coming. And not only that, have our hearts so engaged that He'll be drawn back and enhance in His coming time. I came for this cause. I came to this hour. Why is it you have come to this hour just before His return? In Revelation 1:3b, which I read earlier, it says the time is at hand. And I think it's obvious what time that He's referring to and He's speaking of. It's the Lord's return. That's why He's sharing the book of Revelation with us. The time is at hand, He said. And you know, there's a real urgency. If you read that scripture, you sense the urgency in John's heart that we might receive that revelation, because he said, you must read it. You need to read this. And not only do you need to read it, but you need to hear it. You need to listen for the voice of the Lord as you read it. You need to take it into your hearts. And then he says, not only must you hear it, read it, and hear it, you must take heed. Must become a part of your life. You must do it. The revelation that you receive requires responsibility on our part to carry out what we see. It's like John is saying, you can't wait till tomorrow to receive this revelation. You need it today. You need it in this hour. Read it. Heed it. Brothers and sisters, we see the urgency, at least I do as I read that, in John's heart and voice for the saints. This was in the end of the first century. It's been 2,000 years, a little over 2,000 now. And we know that the Lord can come at any time. This prophecy is about the second coming of the Lord. And He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be ready. He wants to come back and set up His kingdom and to have His bride. Why the delay? It's been 2,000 years. It was so urgent on John's heart. And it's still urgent today. The Spirit wants to know it's urgent. But why such a long delay? Brothers and sisters, Revelation 1:9, I wrote down John. John said it. He said, I am your companion and brother. Let me read it, get it right. And partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance. In another word is patience, which are in Jesus. We need to see that this is the hour of the Lord's patience. He is patiently waiting until we're ready. He's enduring all that is going on in our lives. He's working through the Holy Spirit to transform us into His image. The Father is crying out, "Son, how long is this going to take?" And the Son is waiting for the Father to say, "It's time." It's the hour of His patience. And we should take heed to that. How much has our Lord endured? I don't have time this morning to go into all of it, but I think, brothers and sisters, this is something that has been on His and the Father's heart, the Holy Spirit, from eternity past. And He endured all of that, eternity past, waiting, desiring this bride, desiring a people for Himself. And then finally He comes to Calvary. He endures those 3.5 years, brothers and sisters. They didn't understand our Lord, and He had to endure all of that. Even at the last moment, at the Last Supper, the disciples were arguing over who was going to be first in the kingdom and who was going to have the place of power. They didn't understand. How frustrating that has to be. The Lord was patient. He endured. He endured the cross. He endured all the pain and suffering. He endured that hour on the cross, hours which He was separated from the Father. And today He's gone back to the throne. Brothers and sisters, He's still enduring. Still the hour of His patience as He's working with us to get us ready. It is indeed the hour of His patience. May we cooperate with Him. We're not ready. But in the book of Revelation, the Lord is calling. He's calling to His church. And what is the message that He leaves with His church? We need to hear this as we go into the conference. "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." He says that to all 7 of those churches. And then He ends with, "He who overcomes." He's calling that we overcome. And the rewards, there are many. But He says, "He who overcomes will reign and rule with Me in My throne, in the government over the nations of this earth during the millennium period." He's calling out. Brothers and sisters, I cannot help but think this morning one of the essential features of overcomers is that they're aware of the time. They are aware of the time. And they understand what they need to do. There is an urgency about this hour that often we lose sight of in the busyness of our lives. I pray that the Lord will not allow us to lose the urgency of the hour in which we're in. Just as the sons of Issachar prepared to bring in the ark, the time was at hand. May we too become mighty men. May we too have it on our heart to bring back the ark. I want to end with this verse. Romans 13:11. I kind of chuckled at this verse because there's a southern expression in here. At least that's the only place I've ever seemed to have heard it, was down in the south. And y'all know that I grew up down there. You can tell by my voice. 13:11. "Knowing the time it is now." Let's see how this one. "Knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now is the salvation nearer to us than when we believe." Now listen to it from the... What version is that? Yeah, that's what I thought. King James got a better version. "Knowing the time it is now, it is now high time." I like that. "It is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. It is now high time. I guess they had some southern people in there interpreting the scriptures when they wrote this in the King James. Knowing the time, it is now high time. Now my mother, when she said to me, Jerry, it's high time you do something, that means I better be about doing it now. Not tomorrow, not an hour from now, not even a few minutes from now, but you get off the couch and you do it now. It's high time. I heard that expression so much. So that's why as I read this, I said, you know, Lord, this is appropriate to end with. Knowing that the time is now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Lord, we just come this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace as we shared this morning around your table. That great grace. Now, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would touch our spirits, quicken our spirits, Lord, that we truly become aware of the hour in which we live. That, Lord, we might set our hearts to do your will. Lord, we might offer ourselves that free will offering that you might have your full sway. That, Lord Jesus, we might be about the business of seeing that the Lord returns and returns soon. Now, Lord, we thank you also for this conference. It's meant a lot to us through the years. And, Lord, it's been our heart that we could share with all the saints God's eternal purpose for His Son to have a bride. And, Lord, that we as your people might be made ready, that we might be transformed into the image of Christ. So, Lord, may you have your full sway and authority over this conference. Lord, may you indeed, Lord, get through these crusty hearts. May you indeed open these blind eyes and deaf ears, Lord. May indeed you have a response to the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we pray. We expect great things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.